Amen. Thank you, Deacon McLean, for devoting our hearts. Listen, God has invited us. He has invited us to the table that we can eat his bread, for the word of God is the bread of the Lord, and he feeds us freshly day by day. That's why we pray, bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. Those of you who are viewing through the virtual system, through the live streaming, we do ask that you turn with us to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, two verses, verses 22 and 23. We want to continue in our study, righteous living. We do know that the Sermon on the Mount deals with righteous living. The Lord said to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So tonight we want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. 22, verses 22 and 23. Jesus says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." Let me read one more verse, verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." God said this to us by way of his word. And tonight we want to deal with spiritual eyesight. Spiritual eyesight. The Pharisees and the scribes had a problem with their eyesight. Their eyesight was not spiritual because it was unhealthy with the disease of double vision. They were guilty of trying to focus on God and the world at the same time. Focusing on God and the world is double vision. Double vision occurs when the eyes look in separate directions at the same time. They look with both interest upon both God and the world at the same time. In other words, they claim to see God and the world at the same time. The truth is, no one can look in two directions at the same time and see the same object of focus clearly. When the eyes are separated, it causes a blurring of vision. Double vision is blurred vision, distorted vision, imprecise vision. Spiritually, double vision causes double-mindedness. And double-mindedness causes instability, unsteadiness, and wavering in all ways of life. James, the brother of our Christ, stated in James chapter 1, verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He didn't say some of his ways. He said he is unstable in all of his ways. So a double vision man wavers and is uncertain about God. He partly believes and partly disbelieves God. He debates whether he can trust God. He is unsettled and unstable. He struggles and staggers in his belief. You know how a man staggers? It's like a man intoxicated under some beverage, alcoholic beverage. It causes him to stumble, to stagger. He's not in control of himself. He's under the influence of the beverage. He has no sense of himself. He has no sense of direction. He's just going, but he doesn't know where he's going. This is what the Bible is saying about a man who has double vision. He's unsure and unsettled within himself, and he does not have his belief in God settled. So he debates within whether he can believe God, whether he can trust God. He's unsettled and he's staggering in belief. Have you ever run across drunk people in their belief? Let me tell you what they look like. One minute they talk in God talk, and the next minute they're talking world talk. It all depends on what's happening in their life. I mean, if you catch them at church, you may think they're a devout Christian. Catch them in the world, you think that they're a sure sinner. They are drunk and staggering in their belief. God does not permit double vision. God does not allow us to serve him and the world at the same time. That's why God tells us to choose. Even in the Old Testament, God said, choose, choose. You remember when Joshua was at the end of his life and he says, you choose this day whom you will serve. He says, your observation of God and your observation of the world and the worldly gods, you choose this day in whom you will serve. And he concluded by saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He knew he could not serve God and worldly gods at the same time. So God does not permit double vision. God does not allow us to serve him and the world. Now, here Jesus continues his teachings on investment of the heart and singleness of sight. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 concerns giving your heart to God. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth and rust nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart invested in the accumulation of earthly things is foolish, because all earthly things will eventually be taken away from you. We stressed the fact last week that no U-Haul follows a hearse. There is no elevation or elevator that takes your stuff from earth to heaven. That everything you accumulate in the earth will remain in the earth after you expire. after you are deceased, after you die. So Jesus tells us that it's foolish to invest our heart, spend all of our days, spend all of our energy in accumulating things that one day we will have to part from. He says, invest your heart in something more permanent. Invest your heart in God who's eternal. He says, if you do that, when your treasure, your heart gets to heaven, it will not be ruined because there's nothing in heaven that destroys treasure. There are no moth, there's no rust, and there are no thieves in heaven. So he talks about the accumulation of earthly things and the foolishness of spending all of our days in pursuit of things that will soon be taken away from a life is more than material accumulation. Jesus teaches us to invest our heart in the God of heaven. But here tonight, he deals with a continuation of the heart, so to speak, when he deals with spiritual eyesight. And he deals with healthy spiritual eyesight from a single perspective. A single perspective, not a double or eyes. He deals with it from a single perspective. He says, the eye. He speaks allegorically. And he's talking about the significance of spiritual eyesight. Jesus said the light of the body is the eye. Now, the word light means a lamp or candle that is placed on a stand or candlestick. Some commentaries note that the ancients believed that the light enters a person through the eyes, the windows of the body. Without eyes, the body cannot receive light. Without eyes, the body cannot see. The body has no sight. Without eyes to receive light, the body has no sense of direction. I like Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the importance of every part of the body. That the eye has a function. The eye has a function. If you have no eyes, the body has no ability to see. So he talks about the eyes as the windows of the body. It gives us sight. The eyes give us sight and sense of direction. Notice the light is likened to an eye which shows the body which way to move or turn. The body metaphorically represents the whole person, the body. Some believe that when Jesus speaks of body, he's really speaking of the soul, your being. So the eye serves as the window to the soul. It allows light to enter the body and penetrate to the soul. Now, according to the Bible, the light is Christ. So Christ, we see with our spiritual eyes. We see Christ. And what we see of Christ through reading and hearing of preaching and teaching, we bring into the body, into the soul. And our soul then is connected to the Lord. That's how we're saved. That's how we are born again. We see spiritually see. You remember Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus? His conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night and said, "We know that you're a man sent from God. And the reason we know is because no other man can do the things that you're doing." And Jesus said, "Well, if you're not born again, born of the Spirit and born of the water, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot receive the things of the kingdom. So you need eyes, spiritual eyes, to see the things of the kingdom, the things of God, the things of Jesus Christ, the things of the Holy Spirit. You need spiritual sight to recognize the things of God, the things of Christ, the things of the Holy Spirit." So he talks about the necessity of spiritual eyes, spiritual eyesight. Notice Jesus said, "I," not "eyes." He said, "I." "I" is singular. He stresses the necessity of a single eye for righteous living. A single eye has one focus. Now, don't miss that. A single eye has one focus. You cannot look at two or three things or objects at the same time with one eye. Whatever you focus that one eye on, everything around it becomes blurred. You can't look at two or three things at the same time with one eye. You can only see one thing at a time with one eye. So Jesus says, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." If. Conditional statement. If the eye is single, the whole body benefits. The whole body is benefited. Your soul benefits. In other words, the eye determines the condition of the body and the course of the body, the direction in which the body goes. When the body receives through the single eye a clear vision, the inner man, the soul is full of light. Lord, help me. In other words, because the eye is not trying to look in several directions at the same time, the body is not confused in function. Y'all miss that. Because the eye is not trying, or the eyes are not trying to look in two directions, two separate directions at the same time, the body is not confused, the soul is not confused in function. Don't miss this, because many people are confused in function. They don't know what to do as a Christian. They don't know how they are to conduct themselves when they are out in the world. And they don't know what God has called them to, because they are trying to keep one eye in the world and one eye on God. See, you can't try to impress man and impress God at the same time. That leads to confusion. Because what impresses man may not impress God. As we go back and think about, you know, lessons that we have taught in the past, remember, he says, do nothing with the wrong motive. He says, don't pray with the wrong motives. Don't fast with the wrong motives. And don't give with the wrong motives. Now, your giving, your fasting, and your praying with the wrong motive may impress man, but it's not going to impress God. God is going to reject your praying. He's going to reject your paying. And he's going to reject your fasting. If you do those things to impress man. He says if you do that, then your reward is man will speak well of you, and that's all you're going to get. So we're not to live with one eye in the world and one eye on God. We need just one eye on God. Boy, that's a word for us in this season. That's a word for us in this season. We're so worried about what's going to become of us. Listen, you need to keep your eye on God. You need singleness of vision. You need spiritual eyesight. You need to make sure that you're focused in on God. And not all of this stuff that's happening around you, and not all of the stuff that you hear on TV and on the news and all of that. I know it's troublesome. I know that it really bothers you. But listen, you better keep your eye on the Lord. Singleness of vision is healthy eyesight. And because we're not trying to look in several directions at the same time, we're not confused about our function. Listen, let me help you. You have to know what God has called you to. And you have to stay right there. You have to stay right there. You have to stay right where God has called you. Don't busy yourself in trying to become some of everything else when trouble comes. Just remain where you are. Keep that focus, that single focus on God. And listen, I know sometimes you will say to God, God, I know you called me to this, and you need to say that. And listen, God will assure you that he called you to it. So you don't try to become everything and everybody else. Singleness of vision helps us remain focused in our function. Now, eye is single meaning that it sees nothing with a double or confused vision. Now, there are three things I believe the single eye denotes: singleness of purpose, simplicity of intention, and purity of affection. Let me say that again. Singleness of purpose, simplicity of intention, purity or priority of affection. Now, number one, when you are single visioned, there's singleness of purpose. That simply means that you are undivided in purpose. You are undivided in purpose. It means you live with certainty about God, and you are fixed and decided in purpose. Now let me say that again. It means that you live with certainty about God. You are not questioning God anymore. You are not doubting God anymore. You believe God. You trust God. You got all of your confidence in God. When there's singleness of purpose, whatever God has called you to, you remain in purpose. You don't waver. You don't spend your energy and time trying to find an alternative. Singleness of purpose for Christians, Christian believers, is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. What has God called us to? God has called us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Right in chapter 6 of Matthew's verse 33, Jesus says, "What seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things all these things will be added to you. Now, the problem with most people is they take the latter part of the verse and elevate it as priority. They are seeking these things before they seek God. And they want to know why, or they question why their lives are out of whack. Why things are not working out. It's not working out because your life is not singled in purpose. Your purpose is to seek after God, not chase things. You know, some people, that's all they do. They spend all their time and their energy, you know, trying to accumulate, trying to pursue positions and prominence and power. Sort of like the sons of thunder. You know, the mother came to Jesus and said, give my sons high seat in the kingdom. They want prominence and position and power. That's not what God has called us to. What God has called us to is for us to seek his kingdom. Now, seeking his kingdom means to seek his authority. Seek him as king. And his righteousness, his way of right. That's what we ought to spend our energy and time doing, searching out God's word and becoming acquainted with God in scripture and through prayer and through the move of his Holy Spirit, so we can know him and become single in purpose. Our purpose is not to seek after clothes and food and shelter. What really matters in life is the will of God. At the end of the day, what really matters in life is the will of God. Ask Solomon. Solomon, at the beginning of his reign as king, asked God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. But he spent a whole lot of days seeking after everything else. Had wisdom, but he got caught up in worldly affairs. And at the close of his life, when he, you know, had experienced some things, he sat down and put pen to papyrus to write, to tell us how vain it is to spend all of your days seeking after pleasurable things and pleasurable happenings. He had wives and concubines. He had the finest in his kingdom. And he looked back as an old man and said, all this is vanity. All of this is vanity. All of this is vain. So we ought to spend our time seeking after God. Now, this is key. This is key. Don't miss this. When you seek after God, when you prioritize your life, when you put God first, God doesn't have a problem with you having things. Matter of fact, God will make the things seek you. Lord, y'all missed it. So if you don't spend your time seeking after it, and you got the right focus, you're singled in purpose, God will make the things seek after you. So number one, singleness of purpose. Number two, simplicity of intention. Now, simplicity means single without ulterior motive. Now, again, remember he's teaching his disciples about the woeful behavior of the scribes and Pharisees. They had good practices with the wrong motive. So simplicity of intention means that you do things without ulterior motive. You're pure and sincere and decided. Boy, I like that. I like that. It means, according to Vincent's Word Studies, Volume 3, page 346, it's defined as single-hearted loyalty. It is opposed to deceit, guile, error, and wandering. My God. So when you have single vision, you have the right motive. You don't do this with ill intentions. Now, if you hold with me in a minute, I'll talk about evil eyes and when the body is dark. And you'll see just the opposite of this. So, number one, it deals with simplicity of purpose, or singleness of purpose, simplicity of intention. But then it deals with priority or purity of affection. Now, undivided affection. Now, Jesus will say, or he says in verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You can't love two at the same time. You can't love God and love the world at the same time. You see that? So there has to be a priority of affection. Now, we are to love God more than we love anybody or anything else. Please don't miss that. We are to love God more than we love anybody or anything else. Who or what do you love the most? What you love the most is what you invest in the most. That's why the Bible says where a man's heart, a man's treasure, that's where his heart is. If you want to see what a man loves, just get his checkbook or just follow his spending. What does he spend most of his money? What does he spend most of his time doing? Oh, God. He says, priority of affection. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He says, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And these are the words of Jesus. I didn't make this up. It's right in the scripture. He says, in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 22, 37, it says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So purity of affection, priority of affection means that we love God, we love the Lord more than we love everything and anybody else. You have to prioritize your affection. When there's singleness of vision, there's singleness of purpose, simplicity of intention, and purity and priority of affection. So single vision, single eye vision allows you to see life, things, and people the way God wants you to see them. Now here it is in contrast. In contrast, Jesus said, but if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. That's verse 23. Here the word evil means divided or unhealthy. If your eye be divided or unhealthy, your being, you as a person will be full of darkness. Darkness signifies a lack of spiritual discernment. It means that your spiritual discernment is gone and your union with God is destroyed. So when a person's soul is full of darkness, he or she doesn't see things and people like God sees them. Dark people do dangerous things. Let me say that again. Dark people do dangerous things. People with dark souls are materialistic, selfish, hateful, bitter, mean, and greedy. People with dark souls use people to gain things instead of using things to gain people. People with dark souls are self-interest. They want everything for themselves and nothing for other people. They hate people and hate to see other people prosper. They have a sour disposition about life. They love no one but self. Just the opposite of God. Just the opposite of God. That's why Jesus said that if you have a dark soul, that's evil, because it's just the opposite of God. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he generously gave. See, when you have the light of God, when you have a singled eye, you love people like God loves people. But when you have double vision, when you are dark in the soul, you use people for your own selfish gain. Just the opposite of God. God didn't use us, you know, to gain something. God so loved us that he sent his son to gain us. Boy, don't miss the message of salvation. See, when you are dark in the soul, you act opposite of God. You mistreat people. You take advantage of people. You talk about people. You put people down. You hate people. You don't like to be around people. And it just goes on and on. And the only reason you will be around people is for what you can get out of people, not what you can give to people. That's a dark soul. Now remember, Jesus is talking about the generosity of God. That if we'll be righteous in our living, we must mimic the way of God. We must be generous in our giving. Be sacrificial in our giving. And a dark soul cannot be generous or self-sacrificing or sacrificial. Dark soul. Jesus said the darkness is great for those whose focus is on the world rather than God. If you don't set your eye affections upon God, the time comes quickly when you won't be able to see spiritual things. Boy, let me say that again. If you don't set your eye, your affections upon God, the time comes quickly when you won't be able to see spiritual things. It all just blur together. You won't be able to discern one thing from another, what's good from what's bad. And you know, that's how some people are today. Their souls are dark. That's why they see no problem with, you know, trying to live for God and trying to live for the world at the same time. But the Lord says that that leads to a dark soul, and you will not be able to discern the things of God. Let me give it to you in Scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. They had dark souls. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. My God. He says this is the judgment. God sent his son into the world. And if you reject the son, you are destroyed. That's the judgment. He says the judgment is people would rather remain in darkness because their deeds are dark. They don't want to give up anything. They don't want to turn from their ways, their wickedness. They don't want to turn from darkness. So they stay away from Jesus, because if they get close enough to Jesus, their deeds will be exposed. Here's another. Jesus says, but he continues to say, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So the eye is either good or evil. And he says the eye either sees light or sees darkness. And he says if the light is doubled in its, if the eye is doubled in its vision, it sees darkness. If you're trying to live on both sides, that's darkness. Now notice Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Boy, listen. He says, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So people with evil eyes cannot live with God, cannot live for God, cannot understand the things of God, does not know the will of God because of darkness. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 said, the God of this world blinds the mind, lest they come into the glorious liberty of the gospel. So the devil is on his job. Satan is at work. And he's keeping people double-visioned. And he wants you to think that it's okay, you know, to be double-visioned. To live your life in darkness. It's all right. That's what he wants you to think. That it's all right. That you don't have to be singled in your vision. You don't have to be singled of purpose, simplistic in intention, and purity in your affection. No, you don't have to do that. He says what you can do is just live like you want to. And it's going to be all okay. Because God is a loving God, and you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to change. You don't have to be so serious about God. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Because what Satan does with that talk and that rhetoric is blind your mind to keep you from seeing the glorious liberty of the gospel. The light of God. He doesn't want you to see the light of God. He wants you to remain blind. Jesus concludes the session by saying, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Notice he says hate. The word hate has the same sense here as it has many places of scripture. It merely signifies to love less. To love less. Jacob loved Rachel, but hated Leah. He loved Leah much less than he loved Rachel. God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God loved the prosperity of Esau less than he loved the prosperity of Jacob. If I had time, I would get into, you know, the Edomites and all of that, how it came out of Esau and how the nation of Israel came out of Jacob. And God's chosen people was Israel, not the Edomites. It's not that God hated the Edomites, but he didn't love them like he loved Israel. He didn't prosper them like he prospered Israel. So in this life, you have only two choices, and I'm closing. If you have bad spiritual eyesight, you will choose to live for yourself, accumulating all you can. The darkness in which you live is great because you are blind to spiritual reality. Good spiritual eyesight chooses to focus on living for God. You will not accept part-time devotion because you cannot serve God and mammon. Consequently, it's all or nothing. Now listen, if you're struggling, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray and ask God to give you spiritual eyesight. Psalms 119, verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may see the things of you. I may recognize the things of you. I may recognize your word. And when I recognize your word, Lord, I will submit to your word. It will become the rule of my life. It will become what regulates my life and my living. Lord, I want spiritual eyesight. I want to be able to see you. See the manifestation of your presence in the midst of us. Even when I'm alone, I want to be able to recognize you, God, and know you. As I read your word, give me understanding. That my mind be not clouded, blurred, and obscured by a lack of understanding. Lord, I want you. And sometimes that's what you have to say to God. Lord, I want you. Jesus said, there's a necessity for singleness of vision. You need a single eye. You need to focus on God and God alone. And God will add everything else you need to your life. But if you choose to focus on the things instead of God, the things will add nothing but misery, pain to your life. Paul said, you will be pierced through with many sorrows. Live righteously. May God bless your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again today for your word, the power of your word. Lord, we thank you for just allowing us to not only hear you, but to understand you, to know what it is that you are calling us to in this righteous life that you command us to live. Help us to be single in purpose, simplistic in our intention, and pure in our affections. Lord, we love you with our whole heart, and your word tells us to not only love you with our whole heart, but to love each other as we love ourselves. We don't abuse ourselves. We don't mistreat ourselves. So help us not mistreat and abuse our fellow man. That we don't use people to get things, but we use what you have blessed us with, the things, to gain people. Lord, I pray your blessings upon us, the New Bethlehem Church. Lord, our families, bless us both collectively and individually. Be with us. Go before us. Lord, keep us along the way. I thank you for keeping every member. Lord, I have not received the call that one of the members of the church has COVID. Lord, but you are keeper, and I thank you. I thank you, Father, for keeping us as we spend many miles apart, but we all share in your presence because you are omnipresent. You are everywhere at the same time. Give us hearts to do this even more, that as your people, Lord, need to hear from you, Lord, give us opportunity to speak. And we'll be careful to speak your word. I pray, as always, that, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Amen.